instead of getting in the glory. They say you that your own preaching, you're not supposed to get blessed in your own preaching. I don't mean by that, it's not supposed to be a blessing to you to preach, but in other words, that you're not supposed to get so beside yourself in your own preaching that you forget to preach what you're supposed to preach to people. And sometimes I'm guilty of doing that. I have such a good time of what it is, and I already know what it is I've studied on. And I get so wound up in my own preaching, I forget to tell you about what it is I'm excited about. And I thank God for His goodness. Chapter 65 of Psalms, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquity prevail against me, as for our transgressions thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest." Well, right there is a sermon in and of itself, isn't it? "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach thee." I tell you, it's the grace and the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Yes. He causes us to approach Him. Right. And notice what it says, "that he may dwell in thy courts." You get saved, you want to be where Jesus is. "We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Thy terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, but being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it, and thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest him corn when thou hast also provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly." Talking about the mountains. "Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with corn. They shout for joy, and they also sing." Notice verse 11 again. "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us. I'll read God's Word. Now, I want to preach, if the Lord will help me this morning, on the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Now, the Scripture says, in this passage of Scripture where we're reading, it said, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness." Now, we're reading a chapter of the Word of God where the psalmist David is praising God for the period of fruitful blessings that had followed a great drought. He implores all the people of God to praise of the Lord. He had sent the rain and the sunshine, and he did it again and again, because that's the kind of God that he is, see? And my friend, he states in verse 11 that he had crowned the year with goodness. And friend, that's where I want to preach it for the Lord to help us. Now, we are in the first Sunday of a new year, but the Scripture says here that David, as he began to praise God for the previous period, he said, "Thou hast crowned the year with goodness." He's praising God for the rain, for the sunshine, for calling sinners unto repentance. He's praising God for the goodness of God at the house of God. He's praised God for all of his blessings and all of the benefits and the bestowments that there is in serving the Lord. He praises him for the bountiful harvest. He praises him, my friend, for all of the rain that had fallen, for all of the food that had been gathered. He said, and as a matter of fact, he said, we all ought to praise him. And said, even the pastures and the fields and the little hills are rejoicing. I mean, he said, it rains have fallen on them hills, and it's just like those hills are shouting with joy for the blessings of the goodness of God. Comes down in the last verse and said, the pastures are clothed with flocks. In other words, all the animals has had plenty to eat, and the cattle ain't dying of starvation like they were during the drought time. They're covered over with corn. There's plenty of food, and they shout for joy, and they also sing. And the Bible said the earth declares his glory, and the heavens, my friend, his majesty. And surely it all declares unto us his goodness, friend. He states in verse 11 again that he has crowned the year with goodness,
I want to talk to you about the goodness of God. Surely He has crowned this past year for most of us, and all of us we're still breathing air on earth today and saved by the grace of God. Therefore, He has crowned the year with goodness. I praise His name for the goodness of God. Well, we'll see how good a memory some of you's got this morning. All right. I'll say to you all that God is a good God. All the time. Amen. Surely He is a good God. God is always a good God. He's always what He needs to be. He's always what we need. He always meets our need. He's always good. God is good. He's always good. He's never been anything less. Amen. I'm so glad that He's a good God and that He's my God and I'm His son. And friend, I want to talk to you about that goodness. He's crowned the year with goodness. We are so richly blessed. More than I'd ever deserve. He's been faithful, been true to His word. I've been blessed by the hand of the Lord. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Thank God, I praise His name for His goodness. Psalm 73 and 1 said, truly God is good to Israel, even as such as are of a clean heart. Amen. Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2 said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He goes on in the same chapter in verses 8, verse 15, and verse 21 are all the same words. He repeats that same verse three times in the chapter. And this is what it says. The psalmist cries out, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works for the children of men. Oh, thank God for the goodness of God. Jeremiah 31:12 teaches to sin. My friend, teaches us to sing of the goodness of the Lord. Therefore shall they come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together with the goodness of the Lord. As the children of God, we're not the objects, friend, of His wrath, but we are the objects of His goodness. Woo! I'll tell you, we were appointed to wrath. We were the children of wrath. But now we're objects of His goodness. We're the objects of His love. We're the objects of His grace. We're the objects of His mercy. I'm familiar with grace. I'm no stranger to mercy. I know His love. If anybody knows about the love of Jesus, I do, friend. I praise His high and holy name for His goodness. Hey, we're not the children of wrath. We're not the objects of wrath. Romans 11:22 said, therefore, behold the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness. Woo! On them fail severity, but upon thee goodness, goodness, goodness. I'll tell you, He's a good God, friend. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. We were the children of wrath, according to Ephesians 2 and 3. But the Word of God said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9 that we were not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. We are the objects of God's goodness. Truly, God is filled with goodness. And I praise His name for the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Now the scripture says that we were not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the goodness of God. And so we are the objects of His goodness. J. Wilbur Chapman wrote in 1910 these words. Now listen, what happened, friend? J. Wilbur Chapman was a young man, and he would attend Sunday school twice every week. He went in the morning to the local Baptist church, in the afternoon to the local Methodist church. I'd attend Sunday school twice every Sunday. And one afternoon in the Methodist church, they had a visiting teacher in to teach Sunday school to him. And after he got done teaching, he said he had taught on standing, therefore. And he told them, said, everybody that'll take a stand for Jesus, would you stand with me and sing the old hymn, stand up for Jesus. Everybody in the classroom stood except for J. Wilbur Chapman. And his Sunday school teacher, a little old elderly woman, saw him seated back there. He refused to stand and take a stand for Jesus. She went back to him, took him by the arm, And in that sweet little voice said to him, and said, would you please take a stand? Don't you think you ought to stand? Don't you think it's time you stand? He shook his head and refused to stand. He would not stand. But as she wept and cried and began to testify to him of the goodness of God, my friend, he stood to his feet with his lip a trembling, and he said, I must take a stand for Jesus. Turned his heart over to God, became a great evangelist of the power of God, my friend, of God, and would preach for him all over the world in crusades, and saw God save souls all over the world. And this is what he had to write about our good Savior. Amen. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Let me hide myself in him. Tempted and tried and sometimes failing, he, my strength of victory, wins. Jesus, what a help in sorrow. While the billows o'er me roll, even when my heart is breaking, he, my comfort, helps my soul. Jesus, what a guide and keeper. While the tempest still is high, storms about me, night o'ertakes me, he, my pilot, hears my cry. Jesus, I now do receive him. More than all in him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I'm his and he is mine. Woo! Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. Thanks be to God for the goodness of God. We are serving a good God.
We are serving a good God. I want to preach this morning on the goodness of God. I want to say the goodness of God is witnessed, first of all, by faith. The goodness of God is witnessed by faith. Psalm 27:13 said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted. I was just about gone. My life was about over. I was ready to give up. He said, I was trying to serve God without faith. I'm trying to serve God in works. My enemies were overtaking me, and I was just about gone until I believed the Lord. I had fainted until I believed the Lord to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'll tell you, if you'll open your eyes by faith and quit looking at your mountains of doubt and start looking at God by faith, stop telling God how big your problems is, and start telling your problems how big your God is, and start serving God in faith and trusting God by faith and walking by faith, you can see the goodness of God. Amen. Living a petting yourself and a pitying yourself and a feeling sorry for yourself all the time. Hey, if by the eyes and the telescope of faith you'd but see Christ, you'd see his goodness and understand his greatness, and you'd know he's bigger than any giant. He's taller than any man. He's stronger than any battle. He's sufficient for your warfare. I mean, he's a good God. Would you by faith see him? Follow him. Live for him. Amen. The goodness of God's witnessed by faith. By faith. You can't see the goodness of God in unbelief. Unbelief will cause you to leave God. Hebrews 3:12 said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But faith witnesses the goodness of God and leads men to repentance. You see, that's why you got to have repentance and faith. It ain't just faith, it's repentance and faith. It's not just repentance, it's repentance and faith. Thank God. By faith we view his goodness, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance, according to Romans 2:4. I'll tell you, friend, you know why you repented. You know why you got saved, Brother John. Conviction come on your life. By the eye of faith you saw the goodness of God. You knew he'd have grace on you and save you. I mean, you didn't get saved thinking God is trying to kill you. You got saved because by faith you saw the goodness of God, and the goodness of God led you repentance. Now there's two ways to magnify something. Help me preach, Lord. One is telescopically and one is microscopically.
Now what telescopes do, when you peer through them, they take something that's way on out yonder and make it seem like it's right on up here. Therefore, making it bigger and magnifying it. You know what microscopes do? Microscopes, when you magnify something microscopically, you take something real small, and through that microscope you view it, and it blows it up real big. I tell you, faith is a microscope and a telescope. Woo! It takes that seed that's inside of you of the gospel that's been sown, and like that mustard seed is planted in the ground and grows up into a tree, and the birds come and lodge in its nest. It expands that seed of the gospel in your life microscopically. Amen. Well, it's also a telescope. I mean, through the telescope of faith, you look yonder into yonder's world, behind the veil, into the third heavens, and a God that might seem an awful long way off, by faith becomes very near and dear to your heart. Woo! And do you walk with Him and talk with Him and fellowship with Him and understand His goodness? The goodness of God's witnessed by faith. Hallelujah to His name. The goodness of God is witnessed by faith, by faith, by faith. It's repentance and faith that redeems a man. And surely all the redeemed of God know the goodness of God. It is witnessed by faith. I want to say thank God it is witnessed in fullness. It is witnessed in fullness. The goodness of God is witnessed in fullness. God has not given us a partial blessing, but my friend, He's given us the fullness of God. And it's witnessed in fullness. I want to say the earth is filled with the goodness of God. The earth is filled with His goodness. Psalm 33:5 said, He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of God. I'm thankful for His goodness. I was sitting up on top of the mountain in Bryson City, North Carolina. When I was just a little kid, never will forget it. Martin Cook of the Inspiration Quartet. I stood up there and said, we're going to have the Lord should come around and sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, with no music, and I want you to listen. And he began to sing and sang the first verse. Martin took the microphone back and he said, you don't believe the earth is filled with God and His handiwork. Look yonder across them mountains. Said it looks like it was where the Lord just reached out His hand, pressed upon the earth, and the dirt mashed up between His fingers and made the mountains. I'll tell you, the earth is full of His goodness. I've flown over the Grand Canyon. I've seen the mountains where they fall off into the ocean of the Pacific. I've looked as far as I can see in the Gulf of Mexico, across the Atlantic, and never saw the end. I've been on the boats and watched the waves toss and tumble, all the sea creatures jump. I've seen the dolphins jump up out of the water and splash back in again. I went to the mountains and saw the streams, they flowed down, the snows on the caps and the tops of them, and looked across and saw the leaves as they changed colors, and watched the artistry of God as He painted every tree with just exactly the colors it happened to have. And every individual leaf seemed to have His attention. I mean, the very tips of our fingertips on every one of us is unique as God has designed them individually. Your strands of DNA are unlike anybody else's. God has taken the time to put you together by His goodness and by His grace, and you're beautifully and wonderfully made. I mean, the heavens and every star and the sun and the moon declare the goodness of God and the majesty of our Lord. The earth is full of His goodness. Hey, hey. And we're seeing it after the curse of sin. What was it like before Adam got a hold of it? Woo! And what will it be like again when Jesus comes back and He makes a new heaven and a new earth and all things are passed away? Thank God for the fullness of the goodness of God. Woo! Bless His high and holy name. The goodness of God. Now you see why I'm telling you it's hard for me to get preaching instead of just getting blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Just want to act up and run around. And my friend, carry on a little bit, but I need to tell you what I'm carrying on about. The fullness of the goodness of God. The earth is full of His goodness. I want to say the redeemed are full of His goodness. Hallelujah. Now wait a minute now. There is none good but God, according to the fact Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. Man is utterly corrupt, totally depraved, completely lost. He flees from the highest good. He does not seek after God. His mind is on the evil continually. I mean, if Psalms 14, 2 and 3 said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Well, there's no good in man. Romans 3 and 23 said, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2 Chronicles 6 and 36 said, for there is no man that sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7 and 20 said, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 9 and 3 said, yea, also the hearts of the Son of Men is full of evil and madness is in their heart while they live and after they go to the dead. Man loves a sinner. If he dies that way, he'll go to hell a sinner. There is no goodness in man. Isaiah 53 and 6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 64 and 6 said, we are all as an unclean thing, our righteousness as filthy rags in the sight of our God. And so, friend, we have no goodness. Only through Christ can we have any goodness. Jeremiah 13, 23 said, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leper his spots? Then may you also do good. How can you do good that are accustomed to doing evil? How are you going to change your ways? How are you going to correct the error of your ways? How are you going to change your nature? You cannot turn over new leaves. You cannot get religion. It'll take God.
It'll take God. Romans chapter 7 verse 18 said, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I find this law that whenever I try to do good, evil is present with me. I mean, how in the world are you going to do good when there ain't no good thing in you? God formed man. Sin deformed him. And only Christ can transform him. Only Christ can transform him. But through Christ we can be filled with goodness. Not our goodness. Not the religious crowd's goodness. Not the Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal goodness. But the goodness of God. We can be filled with the goodness of God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Any goodness that's in us is His goodness. Psalm 144 1 and 2 saying, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and He is in whom I trust. He's my goodness. I'm not good, I'm not great. I can't be saved in and of myself. But He has provided for me a goodness. Abraham was like the rest of us. He was a sinner. But Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I tell you, that which is good in us is the Lord.
It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. But I tell you, the goodness of God can be seen in fullness. The saints of God, the redeemed, can be full of His goodness. And so we perceive and we witness the goodness of God by faith. We witness it in fullness. We witness it in the family of God. We witness it in the family of God. God has imparted unto us His goodness individually. And it is manifested in our fellowship and worship. worship collectively. Amen.
Now, I won't say that again. I hope you remember what I just said. God has imparted in us that are redeemed His goodness individually. It is manifested in our worship and in our fellowship collectively. I mean, friend, a church or service is no better than the sums of His parts, the world would say. But I'm telling you, God manifests His goodness that He's put in our lives collectively, across us and amongst us, in our worship and in our fellowship. Now, Brother John, how many we got today? 38. That's a good offering. Thank God, $1,886 offering. Praise God. Listen, we got 38. If everybody in here brought a penny to church with them this morning and put it in the offering, all we'd have is 38 pennies, 38 cents. Everybody brings one share, we got 38 shares if we got 38 people. That's all the world sees.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all the world sees. They look at this crowd and they say, well, that's just 38 people down there, and that's all there is, just them 38. But Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them to own and to bless. I submit unto you, when we bring in our 38 shares, there's a whole lot more shares here than just 38. Amen. He has imparted unto each of us His goodness. And that goodness is then manifested in fellowship and worship collectively. And so whenever we begin to worship God, He takes our 38 shares of His goodness and begins to multiply them, exponentially multiply them, manifest them, honor them, anoint them, touch them, move them from breast to breast. And it ain't long, friend, they so much God, they ain't even room for our 38 shares. Amen. And He shows up in our midst. I mean, you can see the goodness of God amongst the family of God. I don't care how good that TV preacher is. He cannot multiply the goodness of God as it's multiplied amongst the family of God. It's an impossibility. He's given unto us His goodness individually. He manifested through worship and fellowship collectively. Amen. And so we are worth more than the sum of our parts. Scientifically, that's an impossibility. Spiritually, it's an absolute. Amen. And so we can accept it, believe it, trust in it. The goodness of God is seen in the family of God. Psalm 64 and 5, where we read, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts and shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Psalms 84:10 said, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Yea, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He said, I'd rather be an old slave, a servant at the house of God, than to own the biggest mansion, the biggest palace, than to dwell in those places of wickedness and iniquity. I'd just rather be a servant down at the house of our God. David said in Psalm 122 and 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 133 and 1 said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The goodness of God is shown in the family of God. Psalm 27, 4 and 5 said, one thing of desire to the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In a secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Hebrews 10, 25 said, not forsaking the assembly of sails together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, it is our duty to be at the house of God. Not only is it our duty, but I was glad when they said to me, let's go in the house, Lord, so it's my desire.
You're right, brother. Yes, sir.
Not only is it my duty and my desire, but it is my delight.
Yes. Yes.
Mark 9, 5, when the glory of God come on the scene, Peter looked at Jesus, and Peter answered and said unto him, Master, it's good for us to be here.
<That's right.
laughs> Woo! How will you leave out here today?
Have you by faith opened your eyes and seen the goodness of God manifested in our midst? If you have, you can leave out of this place saying, Master, it's good for us to be here today. It's not only my duty and my desire, but it is my delight to view the goodness of God amongst the people of God and the family of God. And so the goodness of God is witnessed by faith and fullness in the family of God. And I'll say this by way of my friend to close him. Finally, it is witnessed following the saints forever. Following the saints forever. Psalm 52 and 1 said, the goodness of God endureth continually. Hallelujah. He's not running out. God ain't dead and heaven's not bankrupt. He's full of goodness. And the goodness of God endureth continually. Psalm 23 and 6 said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We see the goodness of God following the saints forever, regardless of the circumstance or tribulation. The goodness of God follows the sheep who follow the shepherd. Hallelujah. And God leads His dear children along.
Yes.
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Away from the mire and away from the clay, away up in glory in eternity's day, God leads His dear children. Some through the water and some through the flood. Some through the fire. But thank God, all through the blood. God leads His dear children along. The goodness of God. I'm done preaching. You come with a song. God is so good to me. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank God for all your blessings on me. Thank God for my Christian home. Thank God for shoes on my feet, clothes on my back. He said that He'd filled the year with goodness. Isn't that what He said? Well, I'm so glad of that. But I'm trusting His. And God will lead His dear children along. He's that kind of God. He's that kind of God. I fail Him oftentimes. I disappoint Him time and again. But God has never failed me. And I've never been disappointed in Jesus. He never fails to exceed my expectations. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ever ask or even think.
Yes.
You ain't got a clue how big God is. And yet, by His great strong hand, He looks on a small one like me and leads me along. I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Hallelujah. When I'm going down in the pit, He hears my cry. His ear's not too heavy that He can't hear, and His hand's not too short He can't save. Instead, He's my shepherd, and He leads me in green pastures, and beside still waters, and restores my soul. Woo! For the goodness of God. For the goodness of God. Maybe this morning you've got problems and you need help with it. He's good enough to do it. Maybe you're fighting a battle and you need help with a war. He's good enough for the war. Maybe this morning, you're just thankful for how good He's already been and don't really want to ask for nothing. Just sure would love to come and tell Him that you love Him and that you praise Him for being so good. Because God is so good, so good, so good, so good to me. Would you stand? You need to come. She's going to sing. God leads His dear children along. You need to come pray, you pray. You need to worship. Whatever you need to do.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His
Yes, he does.
Alone.
Thank God for his goodness.
Where the waters cool flow bathes a weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along.
You've been so good.
Some through the water. God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, the darkest of night, but God leads his dear children along. Some through the water.
Chapman wrote in 1910, Jesus, what a friend of sinners, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Let me hide myself in him. Tempted, tried, and often failing. He, my strength, the victory wins. Jesus, what a help in sorrow. While the billows o'er me roll, even when my heart is breaking, he, my comfort, helps my soul. Jesus, what a guide and helper. While the tempest still is high, storms about me, night o'ertakes me, he, my pilot, hears my cry. Jesus, do I now receive him? More than and all in Him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Well, I'm glad I know about the goodness of God. It's led me to repentance. By the way, the goodness of God has led me to repentance, Brother Matthew. And repentance has led me more to the goodness of God. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I tell you, I've found more and more of the goodness of God. Repentance. I've been led to repentance by the goodness of God. And repentance has led me to more of the goodness of God. I'm glad I know Him. If you obeyed the Lord this morning, done everything the Holy Ghost of God, have you done this week? Hey. Well, I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm glad He leads me along. When you learn your ways the wrong way, you'll be all right then. As long as you go in your own route, you won't work. It won't work.
You're right.